You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, and if you don't have a Bible and would like to do that, if you'll lift your hand, we'll see you get one, all right, down here on the front. Matthew chapter 27. While we're doing that, this young man went off to college, and things have changed a lot since I went to college. Now, your roommate can be girls or boys, either one. And he wrote back and told Mama that he had this new roommate and she was really nice. And, of course, Mama's ears perked up and went to see him. She went to see the young man, and so they were going to prepare her dinner. And Mama noticed during the evening, during the dinner, that they were a little more affectionate than just roommates. But the son saw her watching them, and he said, "Now, Mama, Mother, I know what you're thinking." And he said, let me tell you that Jennifer and I are just roommates. That's it. And so don't read anything into this. It's not there. So I just want you to know that. She nodded, yes, son. About a week after she'd gone home, Jennifer came in and said, Brian, said, ever since your mama's been gone, I've been missing that silver gravy ladle that's very important to me and expensive. And said, it's an heirloom. And said, I can't find it anywhere. I said, you think your mama might have taken it? He said, well, no, I wouldn't think so. But he said, let me email her and find out. And he wrote email. And he said, Mom, I'm not saying you took the ladle or you didn't take the ladle. All I'm saying is that since you've been gone, Jennifer cannot find her ladle. And she wrote back and she said, Brian, I'm not saying that you're sleeping with Jennifer or you're not sleeping with Jennifer, but if she'd have been in her own bed, she'd have found a ladle by now. You can't fool Mama. I'm going to tell you, all of us have looked at Mama and said, now, Mama, you don't need to worry about that. We's lying like dogs. Yeah, it's amazing about that. Matthew chapter 27. I want to, some things I'd never paid much attention to. You know what's fantastic about this Bible is that you just can't touch bottom. You can read things that you've read 100 times and see things you haven't seen before. Think about things that you haven't thought about. And you'll just be, maybe you'll be reading a newspaper or some other thing and it'll bring it to your mind. Or maybe you hear somebody speak and it brings something to your mind. You go back and look at it. You haven't seen these things. And most of you are familiar with this story. This is the story that's almost 2,000 years old about the crucifixion of Christ. But what I want to talk about tonight are the people that were there, the type of people, the groups of people that came to this crucifixion. I remember one time Jim Shoulders, who was world champion bull rider, said that people didn't go, didn't watch the bull riding because they wanted to see somebody get hurt. They watched the bull riding so if anybody did get hurt, they'd get to see it. And that's the way when we have car wrecks in town, when something happens, when we have standoffs, people gather around, have to keep the crowd back. So I want to talk about some of the people in the crowd. And I guess my question is, and I've asked myself this same question, at the cross, what group would you be in? At the cross, what group would I be in? So we're going to start reading with verse 27 of Matthew 27. It said, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And when they had passed by, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And I want to stop there and talk about the groups. The first group we read about were the soldiers. Back there in 27, they were the ones that inflicted pain on him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They made him carry a cross. They mistreated him. They gambled for his clothes. That group didn't like him at all. The next group we read about were the thieves. They were crucified with him. They mocked him also. They railed on him. Said they threw the same in his teeth. The same as the next group, which were the chief priest and the religious folks. Then it talked about the passerbys wagging their head and mocking him and hollering at him and yelling at him. Think of this picture. How people gathered to watch a man die and ridiculing him, mocking him. We have executions in the state of Texas, but nobody gets to do that. They're closed down except for the family. We have executions in California, but nobody gets to do that. They're closed down. But Christ was made a public example. And what's amazing about that is we're almost 2,000 years past that, and he's still mentioned. He's still talked about. He's also still mocked, and he's also still hated, and he's also still derided, but he's also still loved by some people. So what I want to just mention here very quickly was a few deserted him. In verse 56 of chapter 26, we didn't read this, so let's go back to it. There's just one verse there, but basically what it says is that the disciples, the last part of that verse said, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. This is his closest group. These are the guys he lived with. They got to see him before he brushed his teeth. They got to see him before he shaved or combed his hair. They were around him at his worst moment and in his best moment. He opened himself up to these 12, and one of them was the devil. And he let him get that close to him. Now, some of you, if you've got a close friend, if somebody that you've run with, stayed with, gone out with, and worked with, and just been very close to one another, you know all of that person's bad points as well as their good points. There wasn't many, just the 12. Well, not even them, the 11, because Judas was the one that betrayed him. But they just deserted him, left him. I mean, when the trouble got bad, when things got bad, they just ran off and left him. Most of us love to sing the songs. We just don't want to walk the walk much. Somebody said this about one whole boy. Reminds me of a lot of Christians I know. They said, every time I get ready to move the piano, he grabs the bench. Don't want to pick up anything heavy. See? They deserted him. His very own. The next group, some mocked him. The moral and the immoral. The priest and the thieves. The soldier and the civilian mocked him. Now, why would they mock this guy? They said, well, you claim to have done this. Let me tell you something. He did a lot of stuff. He fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He made the lame walk again. You go back through this man's 3.5 years, and that's all the time he did this. But in those 3.5 years, you don't find him hurting anybody. You don't find him conning anybody. You don't find him lying to anybody. He's doing good things, helping people, and they want to kill him. The religious crowd's the one that started all this. And I'm going to tell you, that has not changed. Maybe that's why God has put me in the criminal justice end, and Lord knows I don't want to go. But these two guys sitting down here are pastors of churches. And I could pastor either one of their churches about 4 days before I got run off. They put up with stuff. I'm telling you, everybody's griping, everybody's whining. Some wants it white and some wanted it red. Some wanted it soft and some wanted it hard. Some wanted it high, some wanted it low. It so-and-so sick. One time this lady come to me, she said, I was sick in the hospital and you didn't even come see me. And I said, I had a birthday and you didn't buy me nothing. She said, I didn't know you had a birthday. I said, I didn't know you was in the hospital. See, folks just think these two guys got mental telepathy. They just know when everything happens. And folks get bent out of shape. So when nobody comes to me, let me tell you something. Both you guys, while I'm talking to you, I'm picking you out. If I get sick, don't come to the hospital. I don't have to entertain you. Stay at the house. Study for next week's sermon, okay? Goodness. Man, I had some of that hospital stuff. And folks said, boy, it's good to see you. Well, it's not good to see you. Go back. I'll check with you after I get through with all this. I'm hurt. See, I don't have to look good and smile and try to act like I'm nice because it's bad. So, but it's the religious crowd that's always creating them up. They're the ones that wanted him killed. Other folks just kind of came along for the ride. They're kind of got a riot mentality, a mob mentality. Folks will just get into that. But they're the ones that said, look, here was one of their accusations. He healed on the Sabbath. Well, go whip somebody that didn't heal at any day. He does something good, but he did it on the wrong day. Because the Sabbath's some kind of high day. Jesus said, the Sabbath's made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. So this crowd mocks him. But then most of the crowd did nothing. Just watched. Just sat. They were spectators. They just looked to see what's going on. They did nothing. Holding your finger there in Matthew 27, I want you to go with me to the book Hebrews, over to the right. If you get to the book of Revelation, you've gone a little too far. Come back to the left. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, there's this little verse, and I want to point out one word to you. But in verse 3 of Hebrews 2, it said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Here's the word I want you to look at. How shall we escape if we neglect? You don't know how you go to hell. You know what you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Just neglect. Trust in Christ. Don't do anything. And this is where most of the people are. He said, how are we going to escape if we neglect? You've got to, see, trust Christ. You turn it over to Him. If you do nothing, we don't make it. And this is where most of the people were. They were observing. They're sitting on the side of the hill. Maybe they brought a sack lunch. I don't know. They were there for hours to watch Jesus and others die. Come Sunday morning, most of this town and any town that's represented here tonight, Angelo, Abilene, Amarillo, will not be in church. Now, they won't be robbing anybody, and they won't be fighting, and they may not be stoned. They just won't be doing anything. Getting up later, watching a little TV, doing nothing, reading the paper, working a crossword, taking time. Now, they're not hurting anybody. They're just neglecting what it takes. And here's why that is such a bad deal. See, if you want to shoot yourself, go ahead. But what about your kids? What about those around you? What about those that are looking at you? And we just keep neglecting. We do nothing. Out of this town, they won't be 10% of this town. And yet, if you were to walk through this town taking the census, half of the town would tell you they're Christian. Hey. Oh, yeah. Now, most people don't have a clue what it is to be Christian. We're calling a lot of folks today Christian that are not Christian. See, number one, Christian is going to put Jesus Christ first. That's where the word comes from Christ, Christian. And that makes him Lord. And if he's not Lord, then that's not Christian. It's just that simple. And they just sat and watched. Did nothing. Now, this is what I never noticed before. There's one that went with him. Now, it doesn't tell us about it in what we read, but if you went to Luke telling the same story, you'll find that there were two malefactors. Now, malefactors were just convicted felons. There were two thieves, and the thieves were put on the cross before they gambled for Christ's clothes. Malefactors, after they gambled for Christ's clothes. And both of the thieves mocked him and railed on him. One of the malefactors did that. But the other one said, "Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom." Remember me. Do you know that the first person to spend the day with Jesus in paradise was a convicted felon? I'd never noticed that till this time. Never had. Jesus said today, not tomorrow, not next Thursday, today. Today, you're going to meet with me in paradise. I'm going to tell you what, God works always throughout the Bible today. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible said. Today, we don't know. He said, you don't know what tomorrow holds. And if we did, we don't know that we would be here to behold it. Past is gone. We can't do anything about it. But today, and Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Here's somebody that did something. He didn't neglect anything, and he didn't rail on the Lord. Here's a guy that's dying. And we're all in that. You started dying the day you was born. You was one day closer to death. And nobody gets out of it. But he said, "Lord, remember me." This guy didn't have time to do anything but trust the Lord. He doesn't have time to stop a bad habit. He doesn't have time to make amends. He doesn't have time to look good. He doesn't have time to walk the walk. He's dying. But he's going to get to spend a day with Jesus in paradise. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to think with me just for a few seconds. You're here tonight and maybe you know which one of those groups you fit in. He said a few deserted him. Some mocked him. Most did nothing. One went with him. Which group are you going to be in? You know. And you say, Leland, tonight if I were to die, I'd be lost. I'd go to hell. I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? Do you care enough to say, would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand and then put it back down? Say, Leland, pray for me. I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? I see yours, sir. And yours, and yours. Slip them up and put them down. Yours. I see yours, sir. We're going to pray. Yes, sir. I see yours. We're going to pray just in a moment. And here's what I want you to think about. I'm not asking you whether you ever joined a church or not. Not asking you about whether you've ever been baptized or not. Not asking you about whether you ever take communion or not. What I'm going to ask you, have you ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Paul said that his gospel was simply this. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? If you've never done that, then you're not bound for heaven. If you have done that, regardless of what's taken place in your life, you're bound for heaven. Now, those of you lift hand, we're going to pray just in a second. Here's what I want you to do. When we finish praying, I want you to come and say, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I want to be saved tonight. I believe Jesus Christ died for me. I want to be in the group that gets to spend paradise with Him. Our Heavenly Father, You know the hearts of these people. Thank You that some have the courage to lift their hand. Now, Father, we pray that You give them the guts and the courage to step out for You. That we'd not be like those that mocked Him or those that deserted Him or those that ignored Him. But we'd be like the one that said, Lord, remember me. Father, I pray now that Your Holy Spirit may move upon this group in Christ's name. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, and on the very first verse, would you come and say, I trust Christ as my Savior? Right now, come on. Come right on. That's it. Come right on. Kathy. Neat bird. Okay, all right. Come on, right now. He's calling you softly and tenderly. Come on. On this verse right now. Why should we This is it. No one comes. Come on. Come on. What's God want you to do? Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that have come tonight. Father, for those that have come to trust you as Savior, for those that have come to renew some vows they made to you months or years ago, whatever the case may be. Father, there's others that should have come this very night. Father, I pray that you'd give them another opportunity to be saved, and get their lives and their hearts right with you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Thank you for being here. God bless you. The refreshment stands open. Have a great day.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.